Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up in 20 minutes, we've got your best audio of the day. Make sure you're enunciating Jazz Chisholm when you do your baseball highlights. And a little sports history with our friend Shep. It's coming up here on the show in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, Bacon is back after a day off, off day in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Round two begins with two game ones. And Mraz has your pucks and puns for the night on ice in 40 minutes. Last night, Heat get the victory in game number one. Swing things completely because of their big third quarter. They go on a 39-14 run in the third to completely flip the game. And last night's Heat win was a very signature Heat game where they kind of are under, I don't want to say under the radar, but they're a little underwhelming at moments. And you're going, is this a number one seed? Is this a title favorite? Is this team really going to win an NBA Finals? And then you see their elite defense leading to a team-wide splurge. And you go, oh, right, that's the Heat. A workman-like game where they've kind of got to figure out how they win and then unlock their offense because they've completely committed on defense. It's a Pat Riley staple, which has become an Eric Spoelstra staple, which has become a Miami Heat franchise staple, which is a Jimmy Butler staple, which is why he's such a perfect fit there. And once they started flying to loose balls in the third quarter, once Bam was blocking shots around the rim, snatching rebounds, Jimmy Butler was all over whoever he was defending, once they were in Jason Tatum's face around the three-point arc and really squeezing the space from him, that's when everything unlocked for the Heat and they went on this ridiculous run. And I thought that the Celtics kind of melted. That once things had tilted against the Celtics, they just got really sloppy. And I'm not sure if that's going to be a harbinger of things to come for this series, but the Celtics need to look at the third quarter last night and ask themselves not, you know, don't ask yourself the question of how were the Heat so good defensively, because the Heat are that good defensively. But why did you unravel so quickly? Because I think there was a moment or two in there where the Celtics had a 10-point lead, had lost it, and maybe it was a 2-point lead there, or a 2-point deficit, or a 4-point deficit, and they just lost their heads. They got so sloppy and out of sorts. And that's a team that really doesn't have that excuse, okay? Because the core of this squad has been in the Eastern Conference Finals. They have won big games. So they were without a couple of their players last night, but Tatum and Brown, those are guys that have been in this spot before. So, and once Smart's on the floor regularly, once Horford's on the floor, once those guys get back, that we shouldn't see that. So that's where I would, if I'm the Celtics, start. We know the Heat are going to play really good off, really good defense. How do we make sure that an 11-2 run doesn't become 38-14? How do we make sure a 7-0 Heat run, or we haven't scored in 4 minutes, how that doesn't become we just got blown out? Because they were up 10 and then down 20 because they just lost their heads in the third quarter. But a great performance defensively by that Heat team takes game number one. Elsewhere in the NBA, we know that the Lakers are looking for a head coach. They fired Frank Vogel, sacrificial lamb, based on such a terrible season. And The Athletic reports that they are asking prospective coaches how they would use Russell Westbrook. Now, that's a little jarring to hear, especially if you're a Lakers fan, because you're like, why would they care about that? We're getting rid of him. He can't be on this team anymore. He was everything that was wrong with the Lakers. He can't come back. If this is truthfully what the Lakers are doing, because the Lakers could be sending out smoke screens, trying to trade Russell Westbrook and acting like, no, we're fine with him. But if they're earnestly, honestly, sincerely asking prospective head coaches how they would use Russell Westbrook, what does that tell you? It tells you they can't move him. It tells you that $47 million next year as a player option, of which Russell Westbrook is almost guaranteed to pick up, is unmovable. That it would take assets for another team to trade for Westbrook's disastrous anchor of a contract. $47 million for that guy. $47 million for a guy who clearly is not what he once was, can be temperamental, can clash with coaches and teammates, and doesn't win. Would you take $47 million of that? Now, it's a one-year deal. It's a one-year player option, so he gets that for $47 million upcoming season. Then you're out from under that after. But a team, first of all, not many teams have that space under the salary cap to get $47 million in there. But number two, it's a terrible value. So you would do it only if you got other stuff in return. And the Lakers have traded away almost every draft pick they have. They don't have a pick for like 6 or 7 years. First round picks. So how can you even sweeten the pot for somebody to take Russell Westbrook off your hands? It's distinctly possible they know that. And they need to hire a guy that's going to fix that situation immediately. Because most teams, or at least some teams, can go, all right, we just got to eat at this upcoming season. We got to eat $47 million of Russell Westbrook. Then he's out of our lives. We get all that space under the cap back. And we kind of kick the can down the road. And then 2023, 2024, we're back, baby. But you can't do that with 38-year-old LeBron. You can't punt on an entire season because of LeBron. Well, with LeBron's age. You can't. So maybe the Lakers are painted into the ultimate corner where they have to hire a guy that's got a solution for
for Westbrook, and they've got to find a guy that can mesh everything together because they don't have another option. It's got to work. And I think we all know the odds are it won't, and that this is doomed to fail right from the start. Also, is it in your best interest to hire a guy to fix the unfixable? I mean, maybe it should be like, well, how would you use LeBron instead of how would you use Westbrook? Jay tweets in, DA, nobody says semifinals and quarterfinals in the NHL playoffs. We're in round two.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Yes, we're in round two, but that's what they are. Look over history, the NHL quarterfinals, the semifinals. Kaplan's giving me this cue at the NHL website since the second round. Yes, because verbally that's what we call it. But it's the semifinals now.
Well, what do you mean? Verbally, that's what we call it, but it's this. Where is it called semifinals?
Historically, when you look at, you know, any hockey reference, the NHL quarterfinals, the NHL semifinals. But when we have a conversation, yes, we're in the NHL second round. I don't know why we don't call it the third round and the fourth round, but I guess because those, you're crowning a champion.
Easier thing to conceptualize. We know the Stanley Cup final. That's the final series. We know the East Finals and the West Finals. That's easy to conceptualize. When it gets to quarterfinals and semifinals, is like, is that the conference semis?
Well,
is that the league semis?
But now you're
what are the semis? What are the quarters?
Yeah, that's the thing. It becomes distracting. Then you start doing math. Wait, quarterfinals. How many rounds does that mean we have left? And so on and so forth. Like, I blew my wife's mind yesterday where she thought the Rangers were four wins from the cup. She was not happy.
Oh, she didn't realize there's another round after this one before you even get to the Stanley Cup.
Quote, you mean they might play 14 games before even getting to a Stanley Cup? Clearly not a fan of where my priorities have been at home.
That was a...
You heard me wrong?
A clear you heard me wrong. Bob tweets, the disrespect this show has for Tua is crazy. Dolphins are a sneaky pick to win the division. Buffalo comes back to the pack. Oh, Bobby. Robbie. I agree with you. I think the Dolphins are a sneaky pick to win the division. In fact, the Wizard of Odds may have already sprinkled just a little bit via a certain FanDuel app, just in case the Dolphins do end up surprising some and winning the division. I don't think that's crazy. I think the Patriots are not that good. I think that the Jets are a step away from being able to compete in that division. And I think that the Buffalo Bills have such enormous pressure on them that if it doesn't happen this year, it's a total nightmare in Western New York. I mean, that everybody's pointing to this is finally the Bills' year. And if we've learned anything throughout history, it's never the Bills' year. So is it possible the pressure, the expectations, the scrutiny starts to squeeze in the walls on the Bills and suddenly they're 10-7 and open up the door for the Dolphins? Absolutely. And I love Mike McDaniel, you know that. The addition of Tyreek Hill is going to pay off big dividends year one, maybe year two. By year three, it's going to look terrible, but this is still year one and Tyreek is still dynamic. They've added a lot of depth on the running back position. I love that. And they had one of the best defenses in the AFC last year. I agree. Doesn't mean I like Tua. I think Tua stinks. I think throughout this season, you will see the exposure of Tua as a mere middle-of-the-road starting quarterback that needs everything to be orchestrated perfectly around him to succeed. But despite that, I think the Dolphins are a sneaky pick to win the division. I agree. Now, again, Bills are way better than everybody in the division. Way better. But betting on the Bills has been a losing proposition for, let's see, carry the one, 65 years? So I'm not ready to do it yet. David tweets, quote, no one was paying attention to what the Jets did in the second half of the season, Mraz. The last 10 weeks of the season, the Jets went 2-8, and their wins over the Texans and Jags. Now, David is David Schultz, former colleague of mine down in Florida, who works for 105.5 WNSP, and he is calling out Mraz. You got something to say?
Yeah, I came back at him with a couple facts. And again, I am not a Jet fan, so I'm not trying. I don't know where everybody's getting this New York homerism from. Antonio Brown quit on the field in a game the Jets almost beat the Tampa Bay freaking Buccaneers. Number two, he brought up the Saints game. The Jets had zero offensive weapons, of which they had minimal to begin with. They were all out with injuries, and Zach Wilson still passed for over 200 yards. The point was, you could watch. Zach Wilson was getting better. The defense was getting better. They needed to upgrade the weapons and get them healthy. They've done that this offseason. It's a completely different roster now, and the core pieces last year in the second half absolutely grew.
You're buying on Zach Wilson.
I guess I am. Put it this way. I'm buying more on, I think Zach Wilson has a chance to be really good, than I am Tua can possibly lead the Dolphins. I'm convinced Tua stinks now.
Okay, so you're open-minded on potential for Zach Wilson. Door has closed on Tua.
Yeah, I'm not both feet jumping in on Zach Wilson telling you Zach Wilson's going to be great and that's why the Jets are going to be great. I mean, I'm going to say this over and over again. It all comes down to what Zach Wilson is, but I was kind of impressed. I'm more impressed with Zach Wilson now than I was when the Jets drafted him.
You just like him because he was at the Rangers game the other day.
That was cool, but no. I mean, that's not why. And it was kind of cool that he's rooting for the Rangers, but that's not why.
Yeah, you love that. You love it. Had you been like, boo, I hate the Rangers, go Islanders or go Devils, you'd be like, ah, this guy stinks.
That's not true. That's not true at all. But that was cool. That was cool. He's open-minded about hockey, and I like that.
Is Upside Down Mike jumping on the Rangers bandwagon, or does he hope you guys lose every game?
No, hopes we lose every game. We haven't seen him, heard from him in this postseason run. The brother-in-law is an Islander fan. After the Rangers tied the game, went home the other night, wouldn't stay for overtime. So Islander fans are a little miserable around Bob's bar.
Man, so he's not having a good time. Ha, ha, ha.
No, less Bud Light being drank around here.
Oh, man, that's a shame.
More craft beers for the Ranger fans.
Bud Light stock way down because of Upside Down Mike not crushing 30 per game.
I feel alive!
Remember that impish grin he used to have taping those videos after big Islanders wins? He just always looked like there was a little secret that he was in on that nobody else. There was a glint in the eye, and now the man's a beaten man.
And a kid coming next month, too.
That'll beat you down, too.
By the way, Kyle in Arizona, another one who makes those videos. Did you see this now?
Kyle in Arizona made us a video?
11 minutes ago. He's claiming Miami Heat fandom now.
Okay.
So he was Vegas Golden Knights, San Francisco Giants. So he's got that West Coast thing. Suddenly, we don't hear a video from him. We didn't see him at all during the postseason, and he's Mr. Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Fugazi?
I'm calling a little bit of fraudulent, looking to get some airtime.
And he sent us a video?
Yes, he did. Big American flag in the background. He's got the Jimmy Butler jersey on.
Okay. All right.
Having a good time.
He gave us Booskies.
Yes.
Booskies.
Kyle in Arizona gave us Booskies.
Yes.
An unbelievable addition to the show, contribution.
Yeah, we do Thirsty Thursdays now as a result. I don't know. As Peter King would say with this video now, does that seem a little piggish to you? Suddenly the Miami Heat fan, a little piggish.
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
What's great is that Peter King has had a Hall of Fame journalism career, has covered the NFL for 40 years at the highest level, has been a part of Sunday Night Football's broadcast, is a Hall of Fame voter. I mean, the guy is like on the Mount Rushmore of NFL journalists ever. And what is he best known for amongst all of us on this show? Using the phrase piggish.
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
What a great question. Really, that's a fantastic question.
Anytime I see somebody go for a second plate at a party, I always say, does that seem a little piggish to you?
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
Oh, man.
I ate the second half of a sandwich on my birthday, and I said out loud to myself, does that seem a little piggish to you?
Piggish to you?
When we come back on the show, make sure you pronounce Jazz Chisholm's name correctly and history of the basketball hardwood with Shep. It's Soundcheck next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember, you can stream us using the Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app. Both are free. Both carry the DA show. So if you're outside of your normal listening area or perhaps your local affiliate does not carry us, shame on them. You can always listen to us on the apps. We begin with Cameron Brait, Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end, who's just so happy Tom Brady's coming back.
First time he came back to throw, he's like, I'm back. You know, like you could tell he was fired up to be there. I can't imagine like Tom not playing football, what he would be like. Like this is like when he's Tom Brady. So, like I said, we're just fired up to have him back. And yeah.
Fanboying out. That's just so awesome to play football. Tom Brady, I'm catching passes from Tom. Tom Brady, he's dreaming. By the way, is Tom Brady and Giselle going to get roasted? Did I see this? A Netflix show, he's going to get roasted?
Yeah, he's producing a Netflix roast series called Groat, where they roast a bunch of greats, but he's the first episode. Producing his own roast.
He's producing his own roast, and they called it Groat?
The Groat series, all time, the roast of all time, Groats, the greatest roasts of all time.
Groats?
Groats, G-R-O-A-T.
So it's combining roasts with goat?
Yes.
Groat?
That's what I'm looking at, yes.
Like so, Dick Groat of the 60s Mets? What?
So greatest roasts of all time. So, and I guess the pun is, it's like all-time greats that they're roasting. Oh. Brady's a producer and made him the first episode.
Oh. Is it possible Tom Brady's more annoying in his post-playing career than during his playing career?
Yes, because the other problem is he's not funny.
That's right.
That's like a major issue. He's doing all the social media stuff and nothing's funny.
He's funnier than we thought.
You think?
At least for me.
You heard me wrong?
But he's not funny, like undeniably funny.
Well, how funny? Funny how? Do I amuse you? Like a clown?
Going from never amusing me as a Patriot to occasionally amusing me as
I think it's his social media team. I don't think he's funny.
Well, I mean, some of the videos, I mean, he's in. Is he reading lines? Is he acting in them? I don't know. Is somebody else's idea to do this?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I hate the fact that he had a Brady hat on when he did the thing about the tuck rule last week or 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I hated that. But I mean, again, we went from nothing, him giving us nothing, to at least something. But he's on the trajectory to be far more annoying as a person than he was as a Patriot.
Yeah, I've had great growth in this space.
Mm.
I went from really hating Tom Brady, wishing ill will upon him, to admiring and respecting his football and having no problem with him winning in his Buccaneers days.
Fraud.
I found that my hatred is actually seated only in the Patriots, not actually with anybody that actually played for the Patriots, simply when they wore that uniform. However, I do find it intriguing, perhaps delightful, that he is going to... I think he's going to walk a line where he's going to undo a lot of goodwill in his post-playing career because he just can't help himself. What he's doing with the whole face thing, it's so clear. Like, he can't stop doing Botox and whatever he's doing facially. That he could get to a Kardashian where, like, whoa, you're getting really weird now. And that he can't just walk away after football and go do something. He's got to be on TV every weekend making the most money. And he can't just be on TV calling games, making the most. Now he's going to make movies. He's going to be in that feature-length film with the Lily Tomlin, Sally Field thing.
Oh, that's right.
Then he's going to do the roasts, and they're going to be really corny, called Groats. And then he's going to do this and that. And he's just going to be, he can't help himself, and he could overdo it and undo what you need as a great is to have some shroud of mystery. Michael still is mysterious. We don't hear him do press conferences about LaMelo Ball in the backcourt. He just sits there. We don't hear from him only when he wants to talk about how he, like, ripped out the heart of Craig Elo. When we want to hear about him telling us how he hates George Karl, we get it. But we don't, he's not everywhere in our life. Joe Montana, there's a shroud of secrecy. He's not, we don't even know what he does on a daily basis. Wayne Gretzky, it's like his daily life is totally outside of the public eye these days. You need some of that. Like Kareem just writes little pieces and memoirs. Even Magic has faded a little bit, and what we see about him is it's totally corny and kind of is like, oh man, like stop tweeting. This is just so stupid. Don't say anything on camera and don't tweet. Bird is kind of receded. You need some of that, and Brady's going to be unable to help himself because he's addicted to fame.
I think it's also he's in a competition with Peyton Manning his entire life.
Correct.
It's not just on the field. Peyton Manning retired first and has done all of this TV, Peyton's Places,
yep.
Manning cast. Now, don't tell me that Brady's not taking a deal for Fox because Peyton has his you know, Manning cast.
Yep.
There's this back and forth rivalry that Manning cannot up Brady at any turn.
Right. Now, here is WFAN update anchor Jerry Recco on with Boomer and Geo, also seen on the CBS Sports Network. And there's a baseball player by the name of Jazz Chisholm. You got to be very careful as you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Jazz?
Chisholm.
There you go. Good job.
No, isn't it Chaz?
Chaz Chisholm.
No.
Jazz Chisholm. Boy.
I almost got into a Brad Heller moment there.
Yeah. Chaz Chisholm Jr.
No.
Oh, God. Well, because it seems like his name should be Jazz, because Chaz. No,
no,
it
it's
is.
Like Chaz.
It is it, Chaz.
No, it's no, Jazz.
Chaz Chisholm Jr.
He's still screwing this up after all of this?
Yeah.
Chisholm Chisholm. What the hell's the difference? You're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Well, because people are used to saying Chaz, and they're used to saying.
Right.
The other word.
But Jazz makes sense, too. For a I don't know.
So it was like the guy's name being Jazz Chisholm sounds more awkward than Chaz Chisholm.
Yes, I agree with Jazz
Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm. Boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he got tripped up over that. He was in the web of Chisholm right there.
So I had never heard Heller do this. Where did Heller mispronounce this?
I'm assuming on a Met post game or pre game at some point.
Yes.
Everybody
yes.
in their car leaving City Field.
Would you have rather said that or Rusty Staub dead at 23? Which would you want on your gag reel?
Just died at the age of 23.
The tender age of 23 for Rusty Staub.
But a sad note, Rusty Staub has died at the age of 23.
Making his Major League Baseball debut at 2.
What a career.
A real prodigy.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Jazz. His first name is Jazz. J-A-Z-Z.
I mean, and now it's in your head, at least my head. So now I'm destined to do the same thing where I didn't feel that danger before now.
Good morning.
Hey, Brad.
Chisholm. Just pronounce the L. That's important there. Jazz Chisholm. Because even if you do with the J and get them mixed up, if you see Chisholm, you save yourself. Chisholm. Just keep doing the L.
So the L is the key.
Yes.
Enunciate that L.
Yep.
But I'm fairly certain he doesn't actually enunciate
doesn't
the L.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You better do it.
Give him a nickname like Jazzy C.
He has one. Jazzy
C. Yeah. Jazzy C went 2 for 4.
His parents did him no favor naming him Jazz either with a Chisholm last name.
I actually think he's a junior.
So his nickname is Jazz?
I'm looking it up now, but I'm pretty sure he's...
His first name's Frank?
Fred.
No, his... Wow. His name is Jazzrado. J-A-S-R-A-D-O. Prince Hermes Arrington Jazz is a nickname. Chisholm Jr.
Huh.
That was number two on our list.
Now, he's from the Bahamas, so I'm probably mispronouncing Jezrado and Hermes.
No.
But that's his real name. So he's, but he goes as Jazz Chisholm Jr., even though Jazz is a nickname and not his dad's first name.
Huh. Now, to be clear, my parents didn't want to spell my name S-E-A-N because they were fearful I would get confused how to say my own name.
That's just amazing.
He's really got 15 names.
The foresight before he was even born to know he could suffer that kind of stumble actually is impressive. But then going through it is, I think, where Bob and Nancy lose me.
He's going to say scene.
He's going to say scene, Bob.
As though you could mispronounce your own name. No matter how it's spelled, somebody has called you Sean your entire life, you would then go, my name is Sean. You wouldn't go, well, I've been called Sean for 5 years, except it's spelled scene, so I'm totally confused.
Yeah, but you throw a bag of frozen peas in the dairy section, and that's coming from a cow, too. So this is who we're talking about.
But they were eggs, you idiot.
Finally, we lock into the JR Sport Brief. Evenings here on CBS Sports Radio with executive producer Shep, who is teaching you all about basketball.
He's one of the best that's out there playing, Shep.
I would agree with that from an offensive standpoint. There is no denying the multifaceted weapon that he is on the basketball court. What he's doing year four is basically unprecedented, specifically being 23 years old. But JR, does he want to be the next Larry Bird, or does he want to be Michael Jordan? Does he want to be Kobe Bryant? Because the thing that Michael and Kobe have in common, and I'll put LeBron in that conversation too, that Larry Bird could never sniff, was that those three, LeBron, Kobe, and Michael, cared about both sides of the court. If Luka is really serious about being an all-time great, you got to give us something defensively. You have to be an asset on that side of the court. And JR, your players, and what I mean by your players is the ancillary pieces, will follow your lead. I need to see it on both sides of the court before we can really put Luka in that best player conversation.
I don't.
So this whole argument by Shep is predicated on, does Luka only want to be Larry Bird? Like, is that the bar Luka wants to sink to? A three-time NBA champion, a three-time league MVP, and one of the 10 greatest players ever. Luka only wants to be Larry, or does he want to be Michael freaking Jordan?
Does he want to be the next Larry Bird, or does he want to be Michael Jordan?
Does he want to flame out like Larry Bird? You know, JR, let me tell you about a little town called French Lick, Indiana, okay?
Sounds dirty, but it's not.
Kids, JR, they go outside at 5 o'clock after school, right before they're going to eat their peas and carrots, and they go and they shoot on that hoop that's on the side of a barn. Okay, that's what French Lick, Indiana is. Well, there was a young man called the Hick for French Lick. He grew up to be only Larry Bird. Now, does Luka want to be the Slav from Serbia? Okay. Actually, he's Slovenian, is he? Does he want to be the Slav from Slovenia or the Hick from French Lick? You tell me that. He's a multifaceted weapon, but he can't be anything but that little old, totally forgotten white guy from the 80s named Larry Bird.
And what I mean by your players is the ancillary pieces will follow your lead.
What do you mean by your play? What do you mean your players?
I don't.
I mean, that's the punchline. But the absurdity of the question, as you said, being, do you want to be the ninth best player of all time or the first?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You better make that decision now, Luka.
Put a hand out on defense, and I'll get you to number three.
Would you want to be a six-time champ or a three-time champ? The choice is yours.
Does he want to be the next Larry Bird, or does he want to be Michael Jordan?
Oh, well, that's a totally different conversation.
Hey, now.
That's your sound check. There's a little old guy named Will Still. He once scored 100 points, and nobody was watching, J.R. Does Luka want to be like that guy? Score 100 points, but it's not even on TV, not televised. Some kid has to record it off AM radio in the middle of the Pennsylvania woods. Does Luca want none of his games to be televised and only to be seen and heard in the middle of the Pennsylvania woods? Does Luca want to sleep with 10,000 women? Or does he want to be Michael Jordan? You tell me.
Or just 5,000.
Make a commitment.
Or does he want to be married with 3 kids? Choice is yours, Luca.
And by married, I mean tie the knot.
I just lost my voice again. I had a bacon now.
All right, he has headlines.
Let's go to the Heat halftime locker room last night. The deficit is large as 13 in the first half. It was 8 at intermission, despite the Celtics playing without the injured Marcus Smart and the sick Al Horford. Miami head coach Eric Spoelstra.
You guys were just really, you know, disappointed at halftime. I barely needed to say anything. Everybody was just disappointed at our defensive effort and focus.
His team then started the third on a 22-2 run, taking the quarter 39-14 to win 118-107 to start the Eastern Conference Final. Jimmy Butler scoring 17 of his 41 in that third. He added 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 3 blocks. The Celtics, meanwhile, missed 13 of 15 shots in the third. Jason Tatum led them with 29, but committed 7 turnovers. This series resumes tomorrow night, while the Warriors and Mavericks open the Western Conference Final tonight in San Francisco. Jabari Smith, or Chet Holmgren, or Paolo Banchero, better known as Patrick Mahomes to F1 fans, that's the choice for the Magic, who won the draft lottery last night. Orlando, Houston, and Detroit had the same odds at number one, since they had the 3 worst records this season. The Rockets will pick 3rd, 5th for those Pistons. The Yankees reclinched the AL East last night.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Another Judgian blast. This one to dead center field. Oh, is this ever Judgment Day? My goodness.
My goodness. 2 homers, 3 RBI for Aaron Judge, and a 5-4 win in Baltimore. That's 20 of 23 for the Bombers.
Wow.
MLB is making them finish out the season, so we'll remind you that the magic number in the AL East is technically 121.
Mraz is guaranteed that the division is over, the Yankees are winning the American League East, and is even agreed to put a bet on it. We're still working out the details of the bet.
But again, depending on how you look at it, they've either clinched or need a combination of wins and Rays losses totaling 121 to clinch. Interestingly enough, DA, the Mets' magic number in the NL East is just 120, which is better than the Yankees, but no one has yet declared the NL East over for some reason. I don't think enough precincts are reporting just yet to get us there. The Mets split 2 with the Cardinals yesterday, a 3-1 win. Then a 4-3 loss. Back to you.
Only 10% of precincts.
Yeah,
have reported
upstate New York has not weighed in yet. Just New York, which is leans one way, not the other.
We haven't gotten Broome County in yet. When we come back on the show, Bacone is back. Canadian bacon. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive! Ah, ah,
ah! Pair of game ones last night in the NHL second round. Mraz, take it away.
All right, DA, 8-7 seven to go. And after a night off on the ice, we returned. We begin in the Sunshine State, where the two-time defending champs took their sun pass down south to take on the Panthers. Anthony Duclair a 1-0 lead on the Panthers in the first period. That would be the only fancy feast for these cats all night. Corey Perry netted the game-tying goal in the second period for Tampa Bay. In the third, Tampa would have their way with 3 goals on the power play where Lefemme Nikita Kucherov gave the Lightning a strike.
Kucherov looking things over.
Shoots! Score! Kucherov!
Soonsie shoots.
A short side goal. It's 3-1 Lightning with 4:06 left in the third.
That call courtesy of the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, the Lightning special teams were a major story. They've got the power. Power. Dun, 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 dun. They got the power. Power. Ross Geller Colton scored the 4th goal of the night, and Tampa Bay wins 4-1 to take a 1-0 series lead. Three power play goals for the Lightning last night. After the game, Panthers head coach Andrew Burnett was no dumb blonde when it came to how difficult beating the Lightning would be.
For about 35 minutes, I really liked our game, and a little flat at the start of the third, kind of got ourselves in trouble, a couple breakdowns, and they're too good of a team. They're a veteran team that aren't going to open the door for you.
By the way, the Panthers 0-3 on the power play last night. They are now 0-21 in the postseason with the extra man. They better figure it out ahead of game 2. A can't lose on home ice in, what's tonight? Tonight's Wednesday, Thursday night. I forgot to write that down. Now our goal of the night. In the West, St. Louis brought their inhalers to the thin Denver air to take on the Avalanche. The Blues jumped out to an early 1-0 lead. Colorado would tie the game in the second and then take the lead as Sam Summerale-Gerard scored to make it 2-1. The Blues would need a hero to tie the game, and they got one as Jordan scored in the third to lead to overtime. This back and forth game one would be decided as Josh Charles Manson murdered the Blues.
High in his own Manson takes the shot. Now Manson lets it go. He scored! He scored! Man, oh, Manson! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over!
That goal, courtesy of the Colorado Avalanche Radio Network. Yes, Joss Manson, sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man. And he may have even gotten a cult following as a result. The Blues will need to tighten up their defense in this series as Jordan Binnington, 51 saves in this game one. They were too many and yet not enough. And that is your Canadian bacon.
I think that's a quarter.
I think that's a half.
Half.
Okay.
3.5 oinks. Okay. So let's begin with some of the good. Florida series, a SunPass reference. That's their traffic, easy pass type thing for tolls.
Sure.
Thought that was good. Fancy Feast for the Cats.
Good.
Being a cat guy myself.
Just trying to play to the crowd.
Yep.
Anthony Duclaird in there as well. I like that one as well.
Didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I like that. That's very good.
La Femme Nikita Kucherov was pretty good.
Yeah, give me the reference on that.
La Femme Nikita was a show on the USA Network.
Right, that was right, a good right. Yeah. Okay.
I did the Tampa Bay Way power play rhyme that was before that was okay. It felt a little forced to me.
Give me the No Dumb Blonde reference.
Mm. Panthers coach Andrew Brunette was No Dumb Blonde when it came to discussing the difficulties with Tampa Bay.
I didn't know that was his name, and it sounded like Burnett. But
right.
Is it Burnett or Brunette?
No, it's Brunette.
Okay.
But I think it actually would have, in my head, it would have worked better the other way. If you were playing him sounding dumb, to say Brunette was more like a dumb blonde, I think that would have worked better than saying he wasn't a dumb blonde, because he never was a dumb blonde. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the song, They Got the Power.
Me neither. That one missed me.
Pete?
I knew the song, but...
Who sings that song?
Snap. Are you guys serious? It's like one of the 90s hits of all time.
It was a major home run song whenever someone hit a home run.
We got the power.
I got the power.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So I know the actual song.
The singing on it wasn't great.
Huh.
I knew what he was talking about.
Okay. All right. So we'll continue with the grading of Canadian bacon coming up here after the break. Also, last night, Jimmy Butler has a superstar moment. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.